Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Help us, Lord, as we meditate upon your word, we will see what you have to say to us. Keep our hearts and minds open and receptive to your speaking, and help us to live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. The portion of scripture for today is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 through 26. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember your brother that has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. These words were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We have many portions of scripture here today, and we see if we were to go back into the Old Testament lesson, we would see that Isaac and Ishmael buried their dad after 175 years of age. He had lived to be an old age. He's seen his children born, and he's seen the promise of God coming through Isaac at an age of 100. And you know, it happened so that no one could say it wasn't of God, because Sarah could not bear children anymore when she became pregnant with Isaac. And God delivered them, and he says, I will build my line down to Jesus Christ through Isaac from you, from Abraham and on down. And that's the way it was. And we see a very discrepancy amongst the people of the Middle East even today, because they both claim Abraham as their father, which is true. Abraham is their father. But God chose to go through Isaac and down into the land and in through that line lineage to Jesus Christ. We see in Romans chapter 6, we could use that for many messages if we wanted to, and we see that because we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that we have accepted him, and we say, Lord, I want you first in my heart, and I accept what you have done on the cross of Calvary for me. We see we are buried with him in baptism, and our sin is washed away, and we are raised with him into the newness of life. And we see that in this newness of life that we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and that we want to be more and more Christ-like, and therefore we should commit ourselves as followers of the Lord to do his will in his way and in his time. Then we come to this portion of scripture here, which is called the Beatitudes, is a chapter 5, and Jesus is teaching here, and he teaches from chapters 5 through 7, he teaches many, many things. Today we touch on the holiness of the scribes and Pharisees, and Jesus says, you know, if you are to be planning on getting into heaven, your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. If you look back on the scribes and the Pharisees, they were ones that made the laws of the land. They could make almost any law. They could make their people obey. But on the execution law, Rome says only we can do that. You cannot execute people without our permission. And if we see Christ's life, we see that they took him before Pontius Pilate in order to get permission to crucify him, because they could not do it themselves under the Roman law. Only the Roman government could do the stay of execution, or to do say, yes, he will be killed. And so we see that Jesus is saying your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we see there, if we were to study history, we would see that they had a time when they made all these laws that even they didn't try to keep, but they wanted everybody else to keep. And we see that in Scripture many times too. And we see that they made a pretense of having long prayers, even up to 2 or 3 hours long, to make people think, boy, these people are real warriors of prayer. And yet it was to only get reward or glory for themselves. And it was to acknowledge, have people acknowledge them and their position, and they would be seen in the street corners, and they would make bracelets and write things on their lapels and on their garments, and people would see them in the street corners praying, and they would say, look how wonderful these leaders are. And yet none of them, I can't say none of them, but a lot of them never believed in God, but they were only there because they were of the tribe of Levi, and they were making great pretenses and having people follow them and to lead them. They could lead the people, and they led many of them falsely. And Jesus has said, then he's telling us, as well as the people of his day, that your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees if you ever plan on getting into heaven. In plain words, you must do what God wants you to do. You must accept what God has told you you have to accept, and that's Jesus Christ crucified, that he died for our sins. And then he goes on from there, and he says, you know, you want to look important in and of yourself to the people. So in Matthew 6:2, Jesus speaks this way, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, because they had these people saying, look how wonderful they are. And so they had their reward. Now Jesus comes in and he goes to the next step and he says, you know, remember the commandments. And he uses the one, you shall not murder, or you shall not kill. And he says, you know, your law says that you don't purposely go out there and kill somebody. And that's all you are concerned about. But I want to explain to you what God thinks of your law and what God says when he says you shall not kill. When he gave Moses that commandment, he explained it back there in Deuteronomy, and he explained it again in Hebrews 4:12, and he explained it this way. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and to the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts in intents of the heart. And it goes to show us that do we kill people unintentionally or intentionally because of what we are thinking? You know, I don't know how many of you have heard the man that has gesture in the king's court, and it's a one-way telephone call from God to this person, and he's saying, oh, I have to love my neighbor as myself. And God is saying, yes, you can't hear God speaking, but you can suppose what he's saying because of the answer the man gives. And he says, okay, I will love my neighbor even though he's no good. And, you know, we laugh at that and we take it as a joke and as a gesture. And yet that's how many of us today live. We say, I will do what I can for my neighbor, even though my neighbor doesn't deserve it. And Jesus is talking here, and he's saying, you know, if you take and hold anything against your brother, against especially other Christians, and your intent is to hurt them or to see that nothing good comes through them, you are sinning. And Jesus says, if you so much as think that that person should die, you have already committed murder in your heart. And you know, how many of us then stop and say, oh, let's look at this. Jesus is speaking of their spiritual kingdom, and he's speaking of the spiritual aspect, and he's speaking to us of what happens to us after we leave this physical earth in our physical mortal bodies and we become immortal. Are we going to spend our time in hell or in heaven? If we want to spend our time in hell, we will continue going the route that many of us are going in our thoughts, because we think evil against those around us. And you know, it is hard sometimes to take and say, I'm sorry. Have you ever had to go to someone that you felt you hurt or you didn't get along with, and the animosity seemed quite great? And so you go to them and you say, do you remember this incident? And I'm sorry that this happened. And I've had to do that on different occasions, and I've had them say, forget about it, don't worry about it. And I've had them tell me, I don't even remember it. But the Spirit was convicting me, and I had to go and say, I'm sorry. I have had incidents happen where I knew there was animosity between me and other people, and when we ironed it out, today we are some of the best friends, and we can sit down and discuss almost anything. And we have agreed that even though we disagree, we have our own opinions, but we will discuss it mostly on what does Scripture say? How should we do it as Christians? How should we do it as believers in the Lord? Should we take and say, I will have nothing to do with you because you don't agree with me? And yet maybe part of their ideas are correct and part of yours aren't. And yet we, in our own pride or refusal to want to take and accept what Jesus has done for us, we want to feel important, so we don't take and we don't come to the Lord, and we don't do it in the love of Christ. We do it in the love of man. And you know, God has told us, what right do you have to murder someone intentionally that I made in my image? If we go back into creation, we see that God made man in his image, and he breathed into him the breath of life. And this breath of life is stayed with us, and we find that as sin entered the world, that the sin stops our life from living forever. And we go out, and we will one day be like Christ when we raise from the dead, if we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And we will be raised from the dead, immortal, and we will be Christ-like. We don't understand what all that's going to be, but we know what's coming. And you know, in Hebrews, while I was reading in 4:12 there, when God takes our thoughts and the intent of our thought, and he says, what did you intend to do with it? Did you say, I was going to just hold back? Did you take and say, I didn't want anything to do with that person? Did you say, I want to see that person hurt because of what they have done to me? You see, we find so many times that what we should be doing, we don't want to do. And what we shouldn't be doing is what we want to do, and we do so many times. We see that the judgment on earth is handed out. In Jesus' time, it was handed out by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We see it handed out by the judges today in our courts in the physical world. But in the spiritual world, Christ is coming again, and he will judge each one of us for our work, for our belief, for what we have stood for, and for what we have done for his will and for him to spread his kingdom. James 2:19 and 20 tells us this: you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You know, if you look back on Jesus' life, and when Jesus cast out many of the demons, he would make them be silent because they would say, "We know who you are, Jesus, thou Son of God." They knew who he was, and they knew they had been cast out of heaven. And you know, if we were to go back into Romans, and we would see that, or not Romans, into Revelation and Daniel, we would see that many of these angels that rebelled against God with Lucifer, with Satan, are chained from that time into the present time. And they're somewhere in the river of Euphrates area. It tells us that they will be loosed in the end days. And they will raise havoc upon the earth. And they will take and make men believe lies. And they will make fire come down from heaven. And you will think that they are the Christ, and people will follow them. And yet they are the false Christ, and they are false witnesses. And they will turn many people aside from believing on Jesus Christ our Lord. Then in James it tells us, "But do you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" We've been told and we've preached and we've taught that you must have faith in what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross in order to be saved. This faith saves us. Does this faith drive us to prayer? You know, last week we had a prayer to fall on our knees and pray for our country and to pray that God would forgive us of our sin, of our nation, and to help us to live for him day by day. And we see that we must be willing to forgive also if we want God to forgive us. And even many times when we think we're right, we may be wrong in our own estimation when we aren't seeking the Lord's guiding hand to protect us and keep us on the right track. In 1 John 3:16, we read that by this we know that love, we know love because he laid down his life for us. That's Jesus who did that. We also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And we're talking about the lives of other Christians. Are we willing to die for those around us that have Jesus as their Lord and Savior if the call comes to it? We see in Syria now that they have told the Christians that if you want to live, we would tell you to flee the country, because as the rebels take over, they're going to kill all the Christians and the Jews when they win and overthrow the Syrian government of today. And they said the Christian has no place to live and no place to hide, because we will find them. Well, are we willing to help these people? Are we willing to pray for them that God's guiding hand would protect them and keep them? You see, in many times we see this, and we see that we have to maybe swallow our pride, if you want to call it that. Are we so proud sometimes that we refuse to admit that we're wrong? Have we had to go to somebody and say, "I'm sorry for what has happened," or have we done it, and what was our reaction or their reaction to us? You know, we find many times we'll do what we shouldn't be doing, and we will not do what we should be doing. And we see that the reaction of someone that we have wronged, or if they've wronged us and we feel guilty about it, or if we feel animosity towards them and we go to them and straighten it out, we will find many times that those same people will come to Christ if they don't know him already as their personal Lord and Savior. And we find then, too, that before we offer God this gift, that we pray and that our hearts and souls are right, that our intents are not to hurt anybody. And like Jesus said, if you even think it, you have killed them already. We don't realize how the intent of the heart is what God has been looking on. And so we have to pray that God will keep us in all things and keep us that we don't do things that we shouldn't be doing. We should do it in his love. And that as we worship him, he will accept our worship as we forgive those who have wronged us, and we go to them if we can and make right if there's something that can be made right, to do justice to our fellow man. And we see too that unless we do this, if you've been convicted of something you've done or something someone has done to you, and it's hindering your relationship with another Christian man or woman especially, that you have to get that corrected before God can accept your worship or your all gift properly the way it should be. We see it as our duty too to go out and reconcile ourselves to those that have done wrong to us or that we've done wrong to others. We always want to wait for them to come to us, but we should take it upon ourselves with the Lord's help and with the Lord's guiding to go out and visit with these people. And we have seen this happen recently right here in this community. And then it's up to that person that we are forgiving or talking to or and asking for forgiveness from. They have to deal with it because you have done what Scripture tells you to do, and that's to try and make it right as much as possible. And if this is done, we will find that as we come and worship Christ or worship God, he will accept our offerings, and we won't go away empty from worshiping him. In 1 John 4:20-21, we read, if someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, from God, that he that loves God must love his brother also. And you know, sometimes it's hard for us to accept that, and it's hard for us to want to do that. And it's hard for us because we, many times, we want to cherish the improper feelings we have towards them, or we feel they owe it to us to come to us when we should be going to them and making that first step. And you know, I remember one time when a man come to me, and he was not a believer, and he had all kinds of excuses. And he says, I can blow holes in everything you say about Christianity. And I don't doubt he could have. And he would take and he would try and get me to argue with him on different points. And as we tried to discuss things, he would always try and bring in the negative and always try and make it opposite of what I might say. And we see that he was only there to do one thing, and that's to try and destroy my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went away. I've had it happen a couple different times. One man I seen about 3-4 years later, he had told me one time he was partly saved, and he was going to finish getting saved later. I seen him about 3-4 years later, and you could tell he had drifted so far away. He wouldn't even talk about Scripture to me anymore about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we refuse to make our proper actions to try and correct our wrongs that we know we can correct, it is to us wrong, and God cannot fully accept our gift, and we cannot worship Him as we ought. You know, we should remember very well the Lord's Prayer. We say, "Forgive us our trespasses," and that's good. We want God to forgive us of our sin. Then we say, "As," remember the word as we forgive those who have trespassed or sinned against us. And many times we want to leave out that last part. We say, "Lord God, forgive us our sin. Forgive us for sinning." But we aren't going to forgive those that have sinned against us. And we know we have to do that because Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, for your sins, my sins, all of our sins. And it says only by faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done on Calvary's cross are we saved. It is with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart believing in the heart, then if we call upon the Lord, we will be saved. And we see that Christ can work in our hearts as we are willing to let Him work in our lives day by day. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would be with each one of us this day. Keep us in Your care. Help us to serve You. And if we have any wrong, help us to correct it, and help us to seek forgiveness of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 521.